Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Once again on Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, episode 105. Technically this year, this episode marks the 2-year anniversary of Pancakes and Power Slams. Of course, I'm Chris Featherstone, and as you can see, I've been under the weather, but as the people who listened to the past 2 years know, nothing's going to stop me now. Surgeries and hospital visits and all other types of stuff has not brought me down, and I am still here and I'm still standing. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are here, we are live, and I am with Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent tonight. Happy 2-year anniversary, sir.
Happy 2-year anniversary. Are you kidding me? It's been 2 years already. Sure. I remember the first couple episodes was actually in the morning, I believe. That's where we get the pancakes from. And unfortunately, I was unable
morning,
to. Yeah. First one was? Okay. Well, I remember that. Remember, I couldn't really listen to it because I was at work. But worked some things out, and we chatted a little bit, and you decided to bring me along probably a few episodes later, not too much.
Episode 2, I believe it was.
Yeah, so it's been one long ride. Not too long. But not long enough. We got a lot more to cover. We got a lot more to do tonight. And for every upcoming episode, Pancakes and Power Slams, Tuesday night, new Tuesday night Titans, myself,
Chris
Featherstone, bringing the best you in professional wrestling. Huge show tonight. It's 105th episode. That's absolutely phenomenal. But we're going to cover a lot of things tonight. WrestleMania coming up on us, of course. We've had a pretty impactful Monday Night Raw last night. Tons of things. Flavor of the week will be the last 10 WrestleManias. I think we're going to go WrestleMania 19 all the way up to 29 and give us highs, lows, thoughts, shares. Join us in the chat room. 347-884-8452 is the number you need to call. Chris Featherstone, under the weather, I know you can lead us the way, and I'll be right there to help you out. So what's going
on
next?
Sir. Greatly appreciated. We will actually celebrate our 2-year anniversary since we got so much to cover this week. We also have so much to cover next week, of course, with our WrestleMania. But we will cover 2 years next week. We got a roundtable ready, and we got tons of fun stuff set for post-WrestleMania chat. And, of course, as you listen to episode 100, the roundtable discussion was extremely fun and exciting, and we got a lot of good reviews on that, and we're going to bring that back. We're also going to bring back Stump the Host once again. So we're just going to have a great time. And, of course, tons and tons and tons of post-WrestleMania chat. And today we are also going to cover, as Derek said, 10 years of WrestleMania. So we got a lot to jump into. By the way, we got a lot of good responses from last week's show when we were covering all the territories and the old federations, the GWF and USWA and Mid-South and WCCW. We got some really good reviews on that. So I want to thank everyone who listened and continue to support. We got so many support, so many people who support the show all through Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com, RealWrestling.net. Special shout out to RealWrestling.net. Great supporters over there. Wrestling Rumble, just a variety of different websites that's just support, and of course two of them I work for, which is WrestlingInc.com and Bleacher Report. And so, and of course, subscribe on iTunes. You get to get every episode from 1 to 105, which is tonight. So we're going to cover Raw at first, and then we're going to go jump right into the flavor of the week. Again, we got 10 years to cover, and of course we got the WrestleMania 30 predictions as well. We start off with an Undertaker in-ring promo, Washington, D.C., Batista's hometown, sporting the Georgetown jersey, the old Patrick Ewing jersey. Undertaker was interrupted by Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman cuts the promo. Lesnar comes down the ring and teases coming into the ring, and then eventually Heyman distracts Taker. And then Lesnar leaves, Taker laid out with an F5. Now, for those who listened to the show last week, I clearly called this out. I said that The Undertaker will look vulnerable at Raw, and it will make Lesnar look like the dominant one going into the match, Undertaker against all odds. And that's exactly what happened. I called this from a mile away. I saw it from a mile away. The chokeslam through the table and the clothesline over the casket, all those were going to lead Brock Lesnar to having his moment right before WrestleMania to make him look dominant going into the match, to make The Undertaker win that much more meaningful. So I knew this was going to happen, and it very well did.
Yeah, you did. Great job. That was probably the foresight of a lot of people who saw that. You know, in The Undertaker, of course, he's going to have to get roughed up before WrestleMania just to make Brock Lesnar look like the dominant one. A lot of people see that. They know that. So it's kind of like, okay, this happens every time. Not saying that 100% sure that The Undertaker is going to win at WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure he will. I think that would be ridiculous for him to go out Brock Lesnar being the dominant one after he went against, you know, the Triple H's and Shawn Michaels of the past off my soapbox. But, yeah, it's getting Paul Heyman involved. I mean, he's such a mouthpiece. He sets up Brock Lesnar so well. Brock Lesnar goes in, walks towards the ring, walks back, and finally charges, you know, does his thing on The Undertaker. So it's good. It's a good show for upcoming WrestleMania. Of course, you got to see those guys tangle a couple times, especially a week ahead. So, good job for starting off for all. It really set the tone for the evening, and that was a good way to start it. So, I'll take
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alrighty, the first trivia question of the night. When Ricky Steamboat was feuding against Jake Roberts, Jake Roberts brought in a snake. And what type of animal did Ricky Steamboat bring to the ring with him? What type of animal did Ricky Steamboat bring to the ring with him? And, of course, Derek, you can answer, as we've done this for the past 2 years. The live chat room gets first dibs, and Twitter at Crave Wrestling, they get first dibs. And, you know, if they don't answer in time, Then Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, gets to answer. Again, the trivia question is, during the 1986 feud between Ricky Steamboat and Jake Roberts, Jake Roberts brought a snake, and what did Ricky Steamboat bring to the ring? All right, we get Alberto Del Rio against Big E. No more Langston, just Big E. And, of course, I can't say much today because of under the weather, but I really want to share the passion that I have as much as I possibly physically can, because I am so disgusted that the WWE continues to have Alberto Del Rio defeat Big E. Big E is the champion. He's the Intercontinental Champion. Big E needs to be pushed and not keep losing these ridiculous non-title matches against Alberto Del Rio. There's no reason to continue to have a lot of stock in Alberto Del Rio. They tried and it failed. He's been WWE champion 2 times. He's been world heavyweight champion 2 times. All 4 of those reigns are forgettable, and it's ridiculous. An alligator. No, that is not true, chat room. Not so far, so not right. It's not an alligator. All right. So, but Alberto Del Rio, there's no point. He beat him on He beat him on SmackDown last week, and then they had a number one contender four-way just for Christian to be pulled out because of a concussion. And then they had another four-way on main event. They had a triple threat between Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, and Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler wins that, and then Big E beats Dolph Ziggler. But Alberto Del Rio loses the number one contenders match both times, but he defeated Big E twice in non-title matches. The logic in that booking is absolutely ridiculous. Now, again, if they had an Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania between Big E and Alberto Del Rio, I'd be perfectly fine with that, because, as I say, just about every week, the mid-card title should be showcased. But just to have – I tweeted that during Raw. They WWE is notorious for doing that. They had Curtis Axel lose a bunch of non-title matches when he was Intercontinental Champion. They had Wade Barrett lose a bunch of non-title matches when he was Intercontinental Champion. They had Kofi Kingston lose a bunch of non-title matches when he was Intercontinental Champion. They had Cesaro lose a bunch of non-title matches when he was U.S. Champion. They had Santino Marella lose a bunch of non-title matches when he was U.S. Champion. So why push these people as mid-card champions? Because back in the day, you had the mid-card champions were second in line to become the world champion, but nowadays they're just props. The belts are props, and it's ridiculous. It should never be used as a prop.
No, it's always used as a prop, and that's just kind of a shame anymore. The Intercontinental Championship was the stepping stone. If you had the Intercontinental Championship, there's a good chance within a year or two you would be absolutely in line for the WWE Championship, or even sooner than that. I mean, that was what that was the ranks it took. It's almost like when you start in the wrestling business, you're selling chips. Then you're the guy that sells T-shirts. Then you're the guy that's in the security guard. And then you're the referee. And then you're the wrestler. And that's kind of like, you know, how that used to be. You would start out, you get the Intercontinental Championship. Yes, yes, exactly. And you know, you said light heavyweight championships, and then, you know, you had the mid card and the heavyweight, and I mean, it was just stepping stones, and that was just paying your dues. That's what it took. And now it's just a sham, along with even the championship belt's kind of a sham. I mean, you've got Randy Orton holding on to it for nobody knows why or what reason, and how did this ever happen, but he's holding to it. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I heard he was holding two of them. Yeah, it's my job to know.
Word
that.
On the street.
Yeah, exactly. The rumor mill is spreading. But, again, question on the board is, what animal did Ricky the Dragon Steamboat bring to the ring against Jake Roberts?
It was a salamander?
So far we have... No, it wasn't, and you are still saying the answers, this guy.
Well,
all
that's
right,
not
well,
the answer, so...
That's not the right answer. So since you did guess and you guessed wrong, and the chat room can't get it anymore, it was a kimono dragon. A kimono dragon. Come on. He was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I know I'm right, actually. You know, he was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, so...
Yeah, exactly. But a kimono dragon, those things are dangerous.
So is a python.
Like their saliva. Like, if their saliva gets you, you're like dead in seconds.
Yeah, like a python can't squeeze you up, but and then Roberts would just put the snake on someone's body like they were perfectly safe. But yeah, he brought a kimono dragon with him, and it was pretty great feud there. Pretty great feud there. So, next question is, what title did Shane McMahon have? What title did Shane McMahon have? All right, next we have Summer Rae versus Natalya. Summer Rae getting the win. I suppose this was, you know, more Total Divas, because last weekend we had a we had something going on with on Total Divas between the two. They were beefing, so to speak, and Summer Rae slaps Natalya, and so, yeah, so this is further development within them. I didn't see the purpose of Summer Rae winning. Natalya's a way better wrestler. Summer Rae's not bad, but Natalya, she's paid her dues, and it's about time for her to see some type of reward for it, so, yeah. Just so-so match here.
Yeah, so-so. Summer Rae defeated Natalya. She won with a kick to the head. Good for that, you know. Kind of a snoozer match. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But next, there was a pretty good showcasing. So what happened after that match?
Well, we had Triple H and Stephanie in-ring promo that was interrupted by Batista, then Randy Orton. And there was some back and forth between there, Randy Orton trying to pander to the authority, but didn't work out. So that was a pretty good segment there. Then we had the Usos and Los Matadores defeating Real Americans Ryback Axel, getting us prepared for the match that was announced to be on the pre-show. And, of course, we'll get to the WrestleMania 30 predictions coming at the end of the show. But this match was moved to the pre-show. I'm not okay with that because I think that the tag team title match should be showcased on the show. It's just that, I mean, I understand that it's the same arena and it's basically at the pay-per-view, but it's just something about wrestling in the pay-per-view that just has an extra spark to it. This the good part of this is that the pre-show is going to showcase the tag team championship, which is good because it's going to be the only match. However, I honestly believe that this tag team match should have started the show, WrestleMania, and that the Divas Invitational should have been on the pre-show. Pre-show match. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. We got more people coming into the chat room. It looks like the question is, again, for those coming into the chat room, the question is what title did Shane O'Mac have in the WWE? What title did Shane O'Mac have in the WWE? Derek, are you there? All righty. Derek, are you there? All righty. Once again, we got some difficulties here, but all right. Well, as far as the and for those who are joining, coming into the chat room, thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining. And I am under the weather this week, but of course the show goes on. Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, is with us as well. Looks like we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and he'll be right back on the line. But like I said, as far as the tag team title match, it should have been on the show. There's a spark about being on WrestleMania compared to being on the pre-show. Now, last year's pre-show match, actually, that's a good trivia question. So there's two trivia questions on deck, on going live right now. There's two trivia questions on right now. One is, what title did Shane McMahon have in the WWE? And the other is, what was the pre-show match of last year's WrestleMania? Again, what title did Shane McMahon have in the WWE? And what was the pre-show match for last year's WrestleMania? We got the Rhodes Brothers defeating Fandango and Damian Sandow, Derek's boy, losing again. This is definitely nothing new. Now, here's the thing. Fandango and Damian Sandow actually wasn't a bad match. They didn't look bad together. They didn't look like a bad tag team. Now, they'll be a jobber tag team. They won't win many matches. However, they didn't look too bad. And at this point, they need anything to help them get over. And I definitely don't think that they'll stay as a tag team. However, I don't see a future with Fandango or Damian Sandow anytime soon, especially Damian Sandow. This guy has not won a match on Raw or SmackDown in ages, and I definitely don't see him winning anytime soon. At this point, Damian Sandow will just continue to be a loser, and Derek, your boy Fandango, will continue to just be a loser
Fandango.
Right with them.
Fandango.
Yeah, he'll be a loser. He'll be a loser right with
them. He will not.
Yeah,
hey, sorry, everybody. I had to leave real quick. I saw Hacksaw Jim Dugan walking down the street.
Dugan. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Fandango. That was crazy.
If Dugan was walking down the street in Ohio, that would be quite odd. I'm just saying. It's 11.
I'm not in Ohio. I'm location in Alaska.
Oh, sure. Sure thing. Your location in Alaska. How was it? How was it in Alaska with Dugan's walking down the street in Alaska? Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But
he didn't know why he was up there, so.
Oh, okay. He must have been doing
some
indie
shows.
He must have been doing some indie shows in Alaska, I suppose. So.
Yeah. Eskimos,
hey.
Dude. Eskimos love wrestling.
Oh, yeah. The Eskimo Championship, ECW, Eskimo Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I got they said it was started in Philadelphia, but they don't know what they're talking about. Paul
yeah,
Heyman.
Yeah, exactly.
Burned their mind.
The new ECW Eskimo Championship Wrestling, featuring Jim Dugan as the Eskimo Heavyweight Champion. I dig it.
Jim the Eskimo Neidhart.
Yes. Jim the Eskimo Neidhart. I think that's a fantastic uprising organization that I wish the best for. Hopefully we'll have Dugan or Neidhart here to explain the Eskimo Championship Wrestling. So, But the Rhodes brothers defeating Fandango and Damian Sandow, when is the next time that Fandango is going to win, Derek?
Let's see. This is March. No, it's April. Today's April 1st. April Fool's. Fandango will win every match from here on out.
Exactly. April Fool's joke for sure. Again, the questions on right now, the questions that are being that needs to land right now is, one, what title did Shane McMahon have in the WWE? And two, what was last year's pre-show match at WrestleMania?
Oh, what title? I thought you meant, like, what name did he have?
No, what title? What belt did he have in the WWE? All right, well, we're going to do one more match, and we're going to do this match, and after that, Derek, we'll give you an opportunity to answer correctly. Next, we had Bray Wyatt defeating R-Truth. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, people know that I'm not a John Cena fan, but this was the best thing that, in my opinion, this was the best thing that John Cena has done in the past 12 years. We saw Bray Wyatt beat R-Truth, as everyone knew that was going to happen. He does his Follow the Buzzards little song and dance. The lights are dim. All of a sudden, you see a fourth member of the Wyatts garbed in the Eric Rowan gear, but it was blue, with the sheep mask or the goat mask, and looking around, doing the whole new, all the nuances that the Wyatt family do. The side tilt looking at Eric Rowan. I think that was a fantastic segment right there. And I'm going to have to give kudos to the writers, because to me, you know, John Cena has been cheesy for so long and I haven't been a fan. Or Lamb. I thought it was a lamb. That's what the chat room has said. Hey, lamb, goat, sheep. It makes sense. Lamb or sheep, because...
I thought it was a...
You thought it was a what?
A muskrat.
A muskrat? Yeah, it could be what? It could be one. I thought it was a donkey. I thought it was a Portuguese man of war. But, yeah, lamb makes sense because, you know, they're lambs of the Wyatt, of Bray Wyatt, whatever, lamb or sheep, they both are appropriate. But John Cena had one of those on, and it was extremely well written segment, and the fact that he had that garb on and played it that way, I have to give major kudos to John Cena, and that was one of the best. I can't think of anything better that I've seen John Cena do, to be honest with you. I'm sure that there's a few more, but that was really well put together.
Yeah, it was.
I have to say this chat room comment right quick. I think it was absolutely hilarious. It was Willow and a Cena mask. I think that was absolutely hilarious. Willow, for those who don't follow Impact Wrestling, Willow is the alter ego of Jeff Hardy. And when Jeff Hardy was in Omega back in the late 90s, he was also Willow. And Omega is a organization in North Carolina that was founded by the Matt and Jeff Hardy. So, when Willow was in Omega, he debuted Willow. And when Jeff Hardy was in Omega, he debuted Willow, and it was very over back then. And he resurrected Willow, and he is now in Impact Wrestling. And I'm not a big fan of it, but that was a funny comment. So what do you have to say about John Cena's portion? You were distracted by Willow.
Yeah, it was John Cena is really starting to show his, you know, finally, 12 years later, you know, starting to show his true talent. I don't know. But, yeah, it was a great segment for John Cena. I'm not a Cena fan, just like you aren't. Never have been. Old school guys just don't. But it's starting to come to the fact, well, okay, this one was good. I'll let this one pass.
Yeah.
He's done a few other things cool. So, you know, I'm not going to be a Cena fan. I'll never bring him up when it comes to the best of the best of the best. But my hat's off to him for this one.
Absolutely. We'll get to predictions later, but does this John Cena moment, does that automatically give Bray Wyatt the nod to go over Cena? We'll talk about that later with predictions. All right, now we have Naomi defeating AJ Lee in the Lumberjill match. Again, my apologies for my voice. I've been very ill the past few days, but still, you know, the show must go on, and I want to thank everyone for your support, and I'm here, and, you know, we're going to have the best of fun, of course. All right, so what title did Shane McMahon have in the WWE, Derek?
Yeah, the
Ooh,
hardcore.
Someone is stumped.
Yeah, the European, Intercontinental.
There you go. Yeah, the European. Yeah. European title. And what was last year's pre-show match at WrestleMania?
It was... Yeah.
Nope.
No, there's a bad connection. I can't... Yeah, I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry. It was a bad connection.
Sure. It was The Miz versus Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship.
Can you hear me? I think it was with Miz and Wade Barrett.
The Wiz? It was The Wiz versus Wade Barrett?
Well, it was, like I said, there's a cutoff.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. It was not The Wiz versus Wade Barrett. It was The Miz versus Wade Barrett.
Oh, well, no, that was bad connection.
I see.
It happens.
Sure. Yeah, the Lumberjill match between Naomi and AJ Lee, they're continuing to bury AJ Lee. This has to be a CM Punk thing. Has to be, because they're dating. And, AJ Lee has to be... This has to be a repercussion of CM Punk leaving the WWE, because AJ Lee hardly ever wins matches anymore. And... Again, we'll get to predictions later, but just the Divas division with her as champ is just not interesting.
No, not really. And it's just not interesting on the fact that there's nobody there to really make it interesting. So I'm still keeping hope with this Divas division that something's going to come up. And maybe just more than a couple of Divas to stand out and say, hey, this is the way it's going to go now. But it's all still pretty powder and pillows and puppy dogs.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is. I mean, that's what they market it to be. So it's...
Yeah, I totally agree. Kane versus Roman Reigns leads to a disqualification because the Shield and the New Age Outlaws gets involved. Decent match. I definitely think it was a decent match, and kind of got us more into the six-man match. I'm still not buying the six-man match, but at least this did give us cause a little bit more excitement. Nothing for the Shield. Roman Reigns versus Kane.
Yeah, Reigns versus Kane, hello? Reigns versus Kane for the Shield. He wins the app voting which members the Shield should wrestle Kane. And the New Age Outlaws wanders out and brings a member of the Shield, causing this huge schmoss going on. Then they got into the ring, tried to triple powerbomb Kane at DQ. But hey, the Outlaws were able to pull Kane away before they could do it. I still like to see the New Age Outlaws come out. I know that's the old school part coming out of me. And, Kane as well. I mean, that's a classic Attitude Era match, minus the Shield, but it was good. I liked it. It was it's a good fall into what's going to come out of WrestleMania so much and what's going on. Don't forget, we still have SmackDown, so.
Do. That's very good. That's a very good point. Piper's Pit, ladies and gentlemen. We get a bunch of participants in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. A bunch of people coming
Piper's
in.
Piper's Pit was horrible.
Why was it horrible, Derek?
It was horrible. I wanted to see Roddy Piper. I wanted to see him cut on everybody and be the jerk that he can be. Instead, everyone kept stealing the heat and this and that. So,
Yeah, it was for the purposes of promoting the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle
Royal. I get that much, but still, give Roddy Piper his due. Let him have at least 2 minutes to just fly off the handle at somebody.
Indeed, indeed. So, what famous line did Roddy Piper coin during an episode of Piper's Pit in the early 80s?
What are you asking me?
Famous line? No, I'm not. I'm asking
the chat
room.
That's a trivia question. Okay.
It is the trivia question. I'm asking the chat room, and I'm asking Twitter, at Crave Wrestling. What was the famous line that Roddy Piper had? Early 80s, Piper's Pit. I see a bunch of people trying to type in, and I see tweets here. Just when you have the answers, I change the question. There you go. Question was plural, but I'll give it to you though. Just when you have the actually it's just when you think you have the answers. I changed the questions, is what he says. But
oh, is that exactly?
I'll give it to you. Randy Orton versus Batista. Decent match. I'm gonna tell you this though. I'm very happy that we did not have this at WrestleMania. This match showed that this would have been an absolute flop at WrestleMania. And I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about a month or so ago that it said Batista versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania would stink up the place. And it definitely would have, because their match on Raw wasn't even halfway as good to main event WrestleMania. So the Daniel Bryan involvement was really good. Triple H did a really, really good job playing the vulnerable COO when Daniel Bryan was beating him up, and he was all of his mannerisms and his theatrics was really good, making Daniel Bryan look like a star there as far as trying to retreat from Daniel Bryan. He did really good. I give Triple H that. I watched Backstage Pass on the WWE Network afterwards, and they also did a really good job. And with doing that, just got a comment on chat room. Loved the Backstage Pass interview after Raw with Daniel Bryan. I totally agree. It was really, really good. And the dynamic of the panel was really good, too, because it's weird because Alex Riley plays more of a at first he played more of a heel commentator or a heel panelist during the post shows and the pre shows. Now he's more of a babyface, Jason Alberts, I believe his name is now Tensai's name is Jason Alberts. He plays more of the heel role on NXT. Well, he plays more of the heel role on the the WWE aired shows like the Raw and SmackDown pre and post show, but he plays more of a babyface role on NXT. So it's a weird dynamic there. But the post show, that panel was really good because Alex Wright is more of a neutral. He leaned more towards a babyface, but he kept neutral in a lot of ways. Wade Barrett was, I'm afraid I got some bad news. He was just a typical heel, and Booker T babyfaced it up, man. You know my boy D-Bra, I can't do it today because of my voice, because I really wish my voice wasn't as hoarse as it is, but because I really want to do a Booker T impression right now. Every time I do a Booker T impression live, people laugh and say it's spot on, but I really want to do it. But he did a really good job supporting D-Bri, my boy D-Bri, dog. And it was a really, really good interview. It was very against all odds, you know, going against the grain, underdog type of interview that was really good. So kudos to the WWE for that, and I'm really, really looking forward. Top five in the Fave Five. Well, number one is his boy D-Bri, dog. I think number two is Sin Cara, dog. Number three is Kofi Kingston, dog, caught up in the lights, dog. And he used to always say, he was a big Evan Bourne fan too. Booker T was when he would do that Shooting Star Press, which was very, very good. But I definitely think that Daniel Bryan getting the upper hand was good at the end. It questions whether he's going to win the title. But I think having that doubt in our heads is going to make it even better when he does win the title. If he wins the title, we'll find out with predictions at the end of the show. But if he wins the title, it'll make it better that doubt was in our heads because he got the upper hand at Raw. So I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job. And I actually didn't get to see that interview, so that was all news to me. Booker T's an excellent, excellent persona, icon. You do a great impression, even though I don't want to ever admit it, just because I'm that kind of guy.
Thank you.
I'm glad he's on a panel, that he's still involved with WWE television. And,
yeah.
I mean, they've got nothing to lose by having him there. So, kudos. I love to see him.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spend the rest of the show covering 10 years of WrestleMania. As far as Impact Wrestling is concerned and ROH, I usually write and SmackDown. I usually write Impact and SmackDown reviews every week on WrestlingInc.com. And so check those out. Impact Wrestling. I did a pretty good job with the adding more contenders to the title match. And I'm a big fan of Eric Young, for those who don't know, and he's now a contender. There's going to be a four-way match coming this week with Eric Young and Abyss and Magnus and the champ. Well, champ Magnus. Abyss, Magnus, Samoa Joe, and Eric Young. And always had an affinity to Eric Young for some reason. I think he's a great performer, and he's an excellent, has great charisma, and he's really funny. So as far as SmackDown is concerned, of course, more build to WrestleMania. Batista versus Sheamus. I definitely think that they did a decent job with that. As far as SmackDown is concerned, unleashing the animal in Batista. So, all right, WrestleMania 19. WrestleMania 19. Oh, and the Bray Wyatt versus the Big Show as well. I wrote this on WrestlingInc.com. I actually think that Bray Wyatt versus Big Show should have been the actual match at WrestleMania. I would have preferred Big Show and Bray Wyatt than John Cena and Bray Wyatt. John Cena and Bray Wyatt, to me, just doesn't mesh. It just doesn't connect. Big Show and Bray Wyatt, Big Show putting over Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania would have helped Bray Wyatt, and I definitely think they could have done a little bit better build with Show and Wyatt instead of just put Wyatt over Show just for the sake of making him look impressive for John Cena. So, Bray Wyatt versus Big Show would have been better for me as far as Bray Wyatt's career is concerned. So, we'll get to the 30 prediction, WrestleMania 30 predictions here soon. But WrestleMania 19, ladies and gentlemen, we will start off with that. Now, we talked about 17 and 18 last week. It was in Seattle, Safeco Field, as a matter of fact. And we had 19, the card with 19, the results with 19 was, we had the Cruiserweight Championship start off with Matt Hardy defeating Rey Mysterio to retain it. I remember Shannon Moore being with Matt Hardy and him continuing to make weight for to keep the Cruiserweight Championship. That was pretty funny. Probably one of the worst Undertaker matches in WrestleMania history. First of all, it was the second match of the card. Second of all, it was originally supposed to be a tag team match with Nathan Jones. And thirdly, it ended up being a handicap match with Big Show and A-Train. Now, I'm glad that Nathan Jones was not in that, because that would have just tarnished the streak totally. That would have been horrible. I wasn't a fan of the match against Big Show and A-Train, but at least it was a singles match for The Undertaker, because that would have been such a horrible idea to put Nathan Jones in there. Trish Stratus defeating Victoria and Jazz in a triple threat match to win the Women's Championship. Team Angle defeating Los Guerreros and Chris Benoit and Rhino to retain the Tag Team Championship. Of course, Team Angle was Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, which was later coined as the world's greatest tag team. Shawn Michaels defeating Chris Jericho in a singles match. Very, very good match between the two. Of course, everyone knows I'm a big Jericho fan. I thought Jericho was going to turn face out of respect, hug Shawn Michaels at the end of the match, and then he turns on him again. So, Triple H defeating Booker T for the World Heavyweight Championship. Really long. It was a good, long, very good-paced match. That was really good. I was really hoping that Booker T would have won that. I really think that Booker T should have. I really think that Triple H should have put Booker T over on that WrestleMania. Then Hulk Hogan defeating Mr. McMahon, which actually was a pretty good street fight. And if Hogan lost, he would have retired. He was had to retire. And then we get Rock Austin 3, which was the first match that The Rock defeated Steve Austin, the first WrestleMania match out of three that The Rock actually defeated Steve Austin. Rock was a heel at that time. He came in as the Hollywood Rock, which was my favorite Rock of his entire career. I think it was absolutely hilarious when he had the night outs with The Rock in Toronto and Sacramento. Absolutely hilarious. And then Brock Lesnar defeating Kurt Angle to capture the WWE Championship. I think top to bottom, a lot of people think that this was the best WrestleMania. I think top to bottom, I had a pretty solid card. Taker against Show and A-Train was not good. I would have to agree that it, top to bottom, it was a pretty good card. Lesnar and Angle, they delivered. It was a really good match, minus the botch at the end with the shooting star press with Brock Lesnar. Overall, it was a really good WrestleMania. I think this was one of the top five WrestleManias of all time. But to me, there was just there was something about 17 that had so much feeling into it. The turn at the end with Austin, it was just so much. The build was just amazing for WrestleMania 17 for the main event. But top to bottom, WrestleMania 19 was a pretty good card, and it was probably one of the best wrestling, pure wrestling WrestleManias of all time.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. For crying out loud, you got HBK against Y2J, Triple H, Booker T, Vince and Hogan, Rock and Austin, Angle and Brock. I mean, it was like almost a showcase of the Immortals type of WrestleMania. And it was actually pure wrestling. Those guys in there know what they're doing. And Triple H and HBK and Y2J, great. Losing to Triple H, which I think back then everybody thought that Triple H should have lost, put Booker T over.
Yeah.
Then you had the Hogan and Vince was absolutely a great street fight type of match, better than I thought it would be, but it was a little deeper than just two guys each other. Rock and Austin, you mentioned Hollywood Rock, that was a great listener. I mean, Kurt Angle, I think, in my opinion, still today, come back to WWE, out-wrestle anybody. That guy is a machine. I still believe this day that he could just totally take on anybody. Have him go against Undertaker next WrestleMania, see what happens. But anyway, that was WrestleMania.
Angle and Taker at WrestleMania 31. That was pretty interesting. Angle's really banged up, though. He's shown in TNA how banged up he is. He was supposed
TNA
to go against
sucks.
He was supposed to go against EC3 at Lockdown, but that was that match was yanked because of his knee. So yeah, he's in pretty bad shape, and I think that he's on deck to retire. I actually think that he probably should take about 6 months off, leave TNA, and do one match. I would say take about 9 months off, 6 to 9 months off, and then announce that he'll be at like a Royal Rumble or something like that, or Elimination Chamber, and have one big marquee match at WrestleMania. And I agree, Angle versus Taker. He's in bad shape, but a bad shape Kurt Angle is still better than 3/4 of the WWE roster. So I definitely think that Angle and Taker at WrestleMania would totally deliver. Next we get WrestleMania 20. WrestleMania 20 was in... It was at the Garden, right? It was at Madison Square Garden in New
yep.
York. And we had Cena winning, defeating the Big Show for the United States Championship. Booker T and RVD defeating Garrison Cade and Mark Jindrak and the Dudleys and La Resistance in a Fatal 4-Way to retain the Tag Team Championship. Christian defeating Chris Jericho. Backstory of that was Christian and Jericho were tag team. They were good friends, tag team champions even. And they had a bet with Trish and Lita. And then Jericho and Christian were talking in the back. Trish overheard it. She was eavesdropping and she overheard it. Chris Jericho ended up he ended up turning babyface because he actually started liking Trish Stratus. And then Christian won the match because Trish Stratus came out and turned on Chris Jericho. So, sadly for me, Chris Jericho lost, but it was still a good match. Evolution defeating Rock and Sock Connection. A 2-on-1 handicap match. That was kind of weird to me. Tori Wilson and Sable defeating Stacy Keibler and Miss Jackie in a Playboy evening gown match. That was pointless to me. Cruiserweight Open Chavo Guerrero retaining it by defeating Ultimo Dragon, Shannon Moore, Jamie Noble, Akio, Tajiri, Rey Mysterio, Billy Kidman, Funaki, and Nunzio. Goldberg defeating Brock Lesnar and was probably one of the most... I think that Brock Lesnar and Goldberg was probably the biggest letdown in WrestleMania history. Just those two names together is, like, explosive. But they both were leaving that night. That was their last night. And Austin was the referee, and him stunning both of them was probably the best part of the match. They were getting booed like crazy. You just saw that the motivation was not there. It was just absolutely horrible. And then the WWE Tag Team Championship, this one they had two titles. This one they had two tag team titles. Too Cool defeating the World's Greatest Tag Team and the Bashams and the APA to retain the Tag Team Championship. And then Victoria defeating Molly Holly in a hair versus title match for the Women's Championship. Eddie Guerrero defeating Kurt Angle to retain the WWE Championship. That was an amazing match. Undertaker defeating Kane in a singles match. Taker was coming back. He was ABA Taker, American Bad A Taker. So he came from ABA Taker to Biker Taker with the... he was Big Evil. He was ABA Taker. And then he was Big Evil. And then he got buried alive due to Kane. And then he had, 6 to 5 months to grow his hair out. And so he growed his hair out again and came back and defeated Kane in a relatively short match. And then the main event was Chris Benoit, who won the Royal Rumble that year, defeating Triple H and Shawn Michaels in a triple threat match. I'll be honest. I mean, we've talked about Chris Benoit. It's been very clear how we feel about him. But I tell you what, though, this triple threat match, as far as the poignancy, as far as the emotion that came with this match, this was one of the best WrestleMania main events that I've ever witnessed. It was Jim Ross. If Jim Ross was not in calling that match, it wouldn't be half as good as it was. It was a really good match, but Jim Ross calling that match was spot on. He christened the match with gold. That's the best way I can explain it. He christened it with gold, and he seemed like he was about to pop a vein when Chris Benoit, 18 years old. Everybody has to. The Chris Benoit craziness aside, watch WrestleMania 20 again, and just for the sake of listening to the amazing commentary by Jim Ross, it just doesn't get any better than that. As far as a emotional standpoint, as far as a poignancy standpoint, Jim Ross, WrestleMania 20 was one of the best main events that Jim Ross has ever called. It was absolutely amazing.
It was amazing WrestleMania. Well, it was okay WrestleMania. It wasn't as good as the previous one. Christian and Y2J was a great match. Phenomenal match. Those two guys could wrestle a telephone pole, and it would be absolutely phenomenal. And with Lesnar and Goldberg, I was such a huge letdown. I was so disappointed in that. I remember just sitting there watching it and saying, what's going on? Are you serious? This is what happened. Somebody like Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. But again, those two really can't. They needed somebody with more showmanship to help them, create their match. And they're both duds on their own. So I can kind of see where you're going with that. And Chris Benoit, Guerrero, that was Chris Benoit's moment. Jim Ross does phenomenal. He could make Lesnar and Goldberg against the telephone pole. Look, I make sound so phenomenal.
Yeah.
You don't even have to listen to that. You listen to Jim Ross, you hear the passion. You hear what he's saying, what's going on, and you're just like, wow. If I'm not there, I'm not watching it. I'm really missing something. He could make any Super Bowl be so much better than what it actually is. I mean, that's just what Jim Ross does. WrestleMania 20, again, it was Madison Square Garden, the old hometown feel. But overall, it was kind of forgettable WrestleMania.
I think I can see, I mean, from the card standpoint, it wasn't very impressive. But that triple threat main event, I mean, that really superseded any type of lackluster undercard that it had. All right, WrestleMania 21, big time, was the theme song. I remember that was WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. I think that was a very appropriate theme song for that. Totally. Low blow for all the people listening in Dallas. Chat room said he could commentate a Cowboys game and make it interesting. Ooh, low blow. Low blow to Romo. Eight matches at WrestleMania. What's that?
That's not very nice. Not very nice.
The Cowgirls is my least favorite team in the NFL for sure. I knew you were going to throw a Titans reference in there, but we got a new coach and we got a new direction, so the Titans is going to be much better than before. We didn't finish off too bad last year though. It wasn't too bad.
Sure
did. I think we were 7-9 last year. So
great season.
It's a promising season. At least we weren't just absolutely horrible. We were lackluster, but we weren't absolutely horrible. But WrestleMania 21 was decent. It wasn't the best by any means. It definitely didn't. It definitely did not make the WrestleMania 20 coming from WrestleMania 20. It wasn't that impressive. You had Rey Mysterio defeating Eddie Guerrero. That was a really, really good build between them, and Edge defeating Chris Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, Chris Benoit, and Christian to win the Money in the Bank match, the first Money in the Bank match. Undertaker defeating Randy Orton in a singles match. This is a really good spot for Randy Orton because he was feuding with Bob Orton, and he was a face of it. He was a face on Raw for a little while. This is when he was feuding with Triple H. And then he went over to SmackDown and said he wanted to make an impression, so he started feuding with The Undertaker. So it worked out pretty well. And it was a good match overall. But at least Randy Orton got this, you know, at least Randy Orton gets to say that he wrestled a WrestleMania match with The Undertaker. Trish Stratus defeating Christy Hemme with Lita. Hemme was with Lita, oddly enough. And Hemme's an announcer on TNA now, so that was her WrestleMania moment, I suppose. Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels was one of the best WrestleMania matches ever. And then we get a little one-minute sumo match with Aki Bono defeating Big Show. John Cena winning his first world title by getting the WWE Championship, defeating JBL. And then Batista, Mr. Rising Star, winning the Royal Rumble that year. He defeats Triple H to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
I think WrestleMania 21, was that the one where they did all the Hollywood promos?
Yeah, WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
That was the Peter Gabriel song.
That's what I really remember from that WrestleMania with the promos. The HBK and Angle match again. Kurt Angle. He is just absolute money when he's healthy. Same thing with HBK. Tore down the house. That was the match of WrestleMania 21. As far as I'm concerned, I don't really remember many other matches other than ones you just described and talked about, but that was WrestleMania 21's highlight was HBK and Angle. Promos were funny. Good job, WWE.
Indeed. WrestleMania 22. WrestleMania 22 was in Chicago, and it was, well, I'm sorry, Big Time was 22. 2021 it was Big Time song, but it was ladies and gentlemen, please. It was that song. It was a good theme song for WrestleMania 21. It was good. And welcome to the show. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think that was the one. So it was good. WrestleMania 22 was that was Big Show and Kane defeating Carlito and Chris Masters in a tag team match for to retain the World Tag Team Championship. RVD defeating Shelton Benjamin, Ric Flair, Finlay, Matt Hardy, and Bobby Lashley in the Money in the Bank match. JBL defeating Chris Benoit to capture the U.S. Championship. Edge defeating Mick Foley in that hardcore match. Wow. Yeah, that was amazing. The Boogeyman squashing Booker T and Charmel. Now, I mentioned that, I think it was last week, that he beats JBL at the Royal Rumble, and then he beats Booker T and Charmel in the handicap match at WrestleMania in less than 5 minutes. That was absolutely just ridiculous. For Booker T, a few years before, to go against Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship, then to, you know, his King Booker persona was absolutely amazing, but to feud against the Boogeyman, that was just absolutely horrible. You see where that led the Boogeyman? Absolutely nowhere. Mickie James defeating Trish Stratus to become the women's champion. Undertaker defeating Mark Henry in a casket match. Surprised that they actually chose Mark Henry in a casket match at a WrestleMania. That was pretty interesting. Shawn Michaels and Mr. McMahon actually was a pretty good match at WrestleMania, lasting almost 20 minutes. And then Rey Mysterio gets his, it's going to be hard to say, it's tough to say this, but it's true to me. Rey Mysterio gets the Eddie Guerrero rub by defeating Orton and Angle and becoming the World Heavyweight Champion. And then Tori defeated Candice Michelle in a Playboy pillow fight, and then the show ended with John Cena defeating Triple H by submission to retain the WWE Championship. Now, Cena and Triple H was a good match. 22 was forgettable to me, honestly. I really don't think that it was very memorable. Michaels and McMahon was good. Edge and Mick Foley was really good. The spear threw the spear onto the table, I think that was really good. But other than that, it was a pretty forgettable WrestleMania to me.
Yeah, it was forgettable. It's something that I really never hadn't thought about since after it aired. You know, Cena and Triple H was good. It was a decent match. I mean, it's almost like a match you'd see on a Monday Night Raw back during that time. HBK versus McMahon was kind of something that you almost wanted to see, but again, it was kind of a letdown. Not really. I mean, Vince McMahon, he is what he is. You like to see Vince McMahon, but he's not a wrestler, for crying out loud. I mean, he's not. It's just good to see his name on the marquee, and you know who he is. Oh, he's the, he's the promoter, he's the booker, he's the CEO, but he's not a wrestler. And just, you know, after just seeing his name on the marquee, after that, there's really not much to it. And with Edge and Foley, that was great. They both kind of tend to be on like the hardcore side, more Foley than anybody, obviously. But kind of a soft match for Foley, but again, forgettable. And Edge really didn't make that match his own, so 22. Forget about it. I already have.
23 was a bit better. Kennedy wins the Money in the Bank. The other participants were CM Punk, Randy Orton, Finley, Matt Hardy, King Bukha, Jeff Hardy, and Edge. King Booker was in 23. Booker T and Charmel was 22. I think Booker T went to SmackDown not too long and became a heel. But King Booker wasn't established yet because I think he won the King of the Ring later that year and became King Booker. Great Khali defeated Kane in like a little over 5 minutes. That was just absolutely horrible. Chris Benoit defeated MVP to retain the U.S. Championship. Undertaker defeated Batista in the fourth match to win the World Heavyweight Championship. I was surprised that that match was that early. ECW Originals defeated the New Breed. ECW Originals were RVD, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, and Sandman, defeating the New Breed, which was Kevin Thorne, Matt Stryker, Marcus Corvin, and one of our guests on Pancakes and Power Slams, one of our former guests, Elijah Burke. Bobby Lashley defeated Umaga. It was a hair versus hair match, so since Bobby Lashley defeated Umaga, Vince McMahon had to get his head shaved. Melina defeated Ashley to retain the Women's Championship in a Lumberjill match. And then John Cena defeating Shawn Michaels to retain the WWE Championship. I think that 23 was better. Cena and Shawn Michaels was a really good match. Taker and Batista was good, too. But other than that, Lashley and Umaga was decent just because of the PR aspect of it. But 23 was just decent to me.
Decent is the best. 23, almost like a repeat of 22. Yeah, Cena and HBK was a great match. That's, you know, good for Cena. That was a stepping stone for him. Still, I wasn't overly impressed by it. And Taker and Batista, that was, yeah, was a throwaway match. Batista just never really had it. I don't know what it is. He just doesn't fit the mold of somebody that could be a worthy contender of The Undertaker. Even though back then Batista had a lot of push behind him.
He did.
So 20 throwaway.
Yeah. Very interesting comment on chat room. Where are they now? Probably a bouncer at a gothic club. I saw Kevin Thorne. He's doing some indie work like in Europe somewhere. That's the last time I saw him as far as where he is. As far as, Elijah Burke is still doing indie work. Corvin, he left because he had some personal problems. And then Matt Stryker, he's still doing some commentating, and last time I saw him, he was wrestling and commentating for FWE, the Family Wrestling Entertainment. So, all right, I'm going to do 24, and Derek's going to take over for 25 to 29. 24, we had JBL defeating Finley in the Belfast Brawl. That was a pretty good match, actually. CM Punk winning the Money in the Bank. The other participants were Chris Jericho, Carlito, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, John Morrison, and Mr. Kennedy. Batista defeating Umaga in the Raw versus SmackDown match. Kane winning a ECW Championship match, Battle Royal, on the pre-show, and then winning and then beating Chavo Guerrero for it at WrestleMania in 11 seconds. One of the most memorable matches in WrestleMania history was Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, and this was a great match. And because Shawn Michaels won, Ric Flair was forced to retire, in which he didn't, because we saw him wrestling for the Hulk Hogan tour and in TNA. So he really that would have been the Oh, that's a good reference there. He appeared at the German Stampede Wrestling shows in September 2010 as Seven Thorn. Yeah, that's the – I think that's the Europe – I think that's the work in Europe that I saw him do. But, yeah, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair was a very poignant match. Beth Phoenix and Melina defeated Maria and Ashley in a Playboy Bunny Mania Lumberjill match. These random gimmick matches is ridiculous. Randy Orton defeating John Cena and Triple H to retain the WWE Championship. It was a pretty good match between those three. Good build. And then you got Floyd Mayweather defeating Big Show by knockout. That was just really weird. And then Undertaker defeating Edge to capture the World Heavyweight Championship. 24 wasn't horrible. I liked the Michaels Flair match. The triple threat for the WWE match was good. It was just a little bit too gimmick heavy for me, but Taker and Edge was a pretty good main event.
Yeah, Taker and Edge was a good main event. And I don't know, when did they really start calling the Undertaker's WrestleMania thing a streak? Like, when did that become popular? Like, oh, he's got the streak. It wasn't.
I think it was probably 6 or 7. Well, the rumors are that he was actually supposed to lose against Diesel at 11, I believe it was, when he had. What's that?
Was it called the streak back then? Like, when did the streak be called the streak? When did they start noticing, hey, the Undertaker's won all these matches at WrestleMania? It wasn't that long ago.
I think
ago,
it was. No, they, as far as coining it as the streak, I think it was. I think it was around 16, 17. It was around 16 or 17. Yeah. All right, take it away. 25.
Mania 25. Okay, so I mean, you got the pre-show. The Colon, Carlito, and Primo defeated John Morrison and The Miz. It was a lumberjack match to unify the WWE Tag Team Championship, the World Tag Team Championship. Like I said, Morrison and The Miz. That was a great match. It was as far as what they could do for it. Anyway, The Miz was still fairly new at the time. John Morrison still had a little bit of prevalence going on with WWE. After that, with the show, you had CM Punk defeated Kane, Mark Henry, and back then Tony Atlas was in Mark Henry's corner. You had MVP,
yeah.
Shelton Benjamin, Kofi Kingston, Christian, and Finlay with Hornswoggle. That was a Money in the Bank ladder match. Of course, CM Punk won that. Great show. Santina Marella lasted. She was the last eliminated by Beth Phoenix and Melina in the 25 Diva Battle Royal at Miss WrestleMania. Have they done that since? What's a Miss WrestleMania?
No.
I missed the 25 Diva Battle Royal. But they had 25 Divas back at the time. How about that? But then after that, really, you had Y2J defeated Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat, and Jimmy Snuka with Ric Flair. It was a 3-on-1 handicap elimination match. Good for Jericho to defeat all those icon legends, obviously, but to be on the same card as those guys must have been just absolutely wonderful for Jericho. Matt Hardy defeated Jeff Hardy, Extreme Rules match. He had Rey Mysterio, he defeated JBL. It was a singles match for the Intercontinental Championship. I remember JBL, Mysterio had a huge feud back in the day. That was kind of a letdown for me. I honestly don't see how Rey Mysterio... JBL, how Rey Mysterio could defeat anybody or anyone that's taller than him. Undertaker defeated HBK. That was their first time meeting at WrestleMania. So, I mean, that was, I mean, you would almost think that would steal the show. Nothing could get better than this. Any other WrestleMania that comes by that involves The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, not so much. John Cena defeated Edge in Big Show, triple threat match. He won the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H defeated Randy Orton. It was a singles match for WWE Championship. Triple H had been disqualified. counted out or brought to a sledgehammer to the ring, Orton would have won the championship, bar none. However, Triple H was able to get through all that and won, was able to actually beat Randy Orton and take away the WrestleMania win. What did you think of WrestleMania 25, Chris Featherstone?
For 25 to be such a marquee WrestleMania, it fell short to me. Taker and Michaels was just absolutely amazing. Matt and Jeff Hardy had a decent build with it, but that was really about it for me.
Yeah, not too much going on there. And okay, of course, next, what do we have? WrestleMania 26. There was a dark match. Yoshi eliminated Zack Ryder to win the 20-man inter-promotional pre-WrestleMania Battle Royal. Not too many people remember this. I actually barely remember it. Dark match. I don't remember if it aired or not. But then you had Show Miz. That was the Miz and Big Show. Defeated John Morrison and R-Truth. Again, it was a tag team match for the unified WWE Tag Team Championship. I kind of forgotten about this tag team when the Miz and Big Show were together, so it's an eye-opener to me that this was something that was showcased on WrestleMania, but they defeated Morrison and R-Truth. John Morrison, I always thought was a great talent. Almost want to kind of compare him to Fandango, but I won't. I'll get stones thrown at me. After that, Randy Orton defeated Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase. That was a triple threat match again. After that, Rhodes and DiBiase teamed a tag team, formed a tag team. Randy Orton, again, was just kind of a bump on the log. Then you had Jack Swagger defeated Christian, Matt Hardy, Kane, Drew McIntyre, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, and Evan Bourne in a Money in the Bank match. How did Jack Swagger pull that off back then? He can't really do too much to do. That was a good match. I remember that match. It wasn't a very long. I thought for a Money in the Bank, this match was over pretty quickly. After that, you had Triple H defeated Sheamus. That was a singles match. Sheamus put up a really good fight, as only Sheamus could do, and you really believe that going against somebody like Triple H. When Triple H was still kind of in the highlight prime of his career, went through it, and was able to beat Sheamus. Sheamus took a good beating, but he took it well. Rey Mysterio, after that, defeated CM Punk with Luke Gallows and Arena. Singles match. And if Punk would have won, Mysterio would have had to join the Straight Edge Society. I did not care for that CM Punk phase in his career. This is maybe the one time I was glad Rey Mysterio was booked to win. Good for him. Bret Hart defeated Mr. McMahon by submission. No holds barred lumberjack match with Bruce Hart as special guest referee. Again, bringing Vince McMahon into WrestleMania is good on the marquee before the match itself. No. It draws people, it brings people in, but for the product that's put in the ring, not that great. Bret Hart won. Y2J defeated Edge. That was a singles match for the Heavyweight Championship. Michelle McCool, Vicky Guerrero, Alicia Fox, Layla. Mars defeated Beth Phoenix, Kelly Kelly, Mickey James, Gail Kim, and Eve Torres. 10 Diva tag team match. Yeah, I remember that match not too well. John Cena defeated Batista by submission. That was for the championship. Again, John Cena wins. Undertaker defeated Shawn Michaels. No disqualification streak versus career match. One of the best Undertaker matches at WrestleMania. Shawn Michaels put out the best match he could. Again, running short on time. What do you think about that, Chris? Chris Featherstone, you there? going to WrestleMania 27. WrestleMania 27 had Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan in no contest. Lumberjack match for the WWE United States Championship match. Great match. Dark match. I don't know. I mean, you pretty much had to buy the show to see it. You had the great Khali last eliminated Sheamus to win. 23-man Battle Royal. 27 was a bit of an uptick for WrestleMania. Edge and Christian defeated Alberto Del Rio with Ricardo Rodriguez and Brodus Clay. Singles match. World Heavyweight Championship, Cody Rhodes defeated Rey Mysterio in a singles match. Great for Cody Rhodes. Kane, Big Show, Santino Marella, and Kofi Kingston defeated The Core with Wade Bright, Ezekiel Jackson, Justin Gabriel, and Heath Slater. Eight-man tag team match. Another great match for WrestleMania 27. Randy Orton defeated CM Punk in a singles match. Again, I still wasn't a big fan of Punk at this time. However, he had Randy Orton. Glad he won, I suppose. Randy Orton still not great with me. Michael Cole with Jack Swagger defeated Jerry Lawler with Jim Ross by the qualification. Singles match with Stone Cold Steve Austin, the special guest referee. Couldn't have had a better guest referee. Jim Ross, Stone Cold's best friend, from what they say. Michael Cole and Swagger. I mean, you had to have these two in there together. And it was such a beautiful, great match. Undertaker defeated Triple H. This was the first time that they had fought together at WrestleMania. Taker wins, of course, only to, again, updo the ante for the next WrestleMania. John Morrison and Trish Stratus and Nicole Pelosi defeat Dolph Ziggler, Layla and Michelle Cole with Vicky Guerrero. Six-person mixed tag match. Kind of forgettable match. Not too much for WrestleMania 27. Again, with Biz, Alex Riley defeated John Cena. Singles match for WWE Championship. The Miz defeating John Cena at WrestleMania 27. I don't know if how believable that was. What do you think, Chris? After that, though, we've got WrestleMania 28. Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan with AJ Lee, singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. That was probably, I think that was the 18-second match. 18 seconds, Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan. Of course, you see what Daniel Bryan's become of since then. Way to go. Kane defeated Randy Orton in a singles match. Beautiful. Glad to see Kane, the old-school wrestler, come back and just take out snot-nose like Randy Orton. Then you had Big Show defeated Cody Rhodes. That was the singles match for the Intercontinental Championship. Kelly Kelly versus Maria Menounos defeated Beth. And Marinas Menounos defeated Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres in the tag team match. Undertaker versus Triple H, Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels, a special guest referee. Notably, probably one of the best matches I can remember of Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. The last 4 years of WrestleMania and Undertaker have just been the most phenomenal matches that anybody could see. Then you had Team Johnny, which was David Tunga, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, and Miz, and Drew McIntyre with Laurinaitis, Vicky Guerrero, and Bella defeated Team Teddy, Santino Marella, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, and the great Khali and Booker T with Theodore Long, Hornswoggle, Eve Torres, Nikki Bella, and Oksana. 12-man tag team match to determine the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown brands. CM Punk defeated Chris Jericho by submission. Didn't like that. Wanted Jericho to win, of course, as always. And then The Rock defeated John Cena. I jumped out of my chair when I saw this. I loved it, loved it, loved it. So but honestly, everybody, we've almost ran out of time tonight. Chris Featherstone is on location taking down some great notes for everybody. Hey, this is Pancakes and Power Slams. Go to